This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 56. And 2 weeks ago, I said that for Isaiah, justice looks like the what is justice was Sabbath. This week, I'm going to look at what justice means in the terms of who. And the catchphrase might be justice means integration. When justice comes, and it's very close, says the prophet, it's seen in the way people who have been excluded are not just included, but are valued and integrated, heart to heart. They don't just get an invitation. They don't just get to sit at the banqueting table. They get to choose the menu and organize the entertainment. I haven't worn a tie for quite a while. I thought I'd just share this with you. This is the championship tie for the Yorkshire County Cricket Club back in 2001. Yorkshire County Cricket Club being the most successful county cricket club in the country. It put itself at a significant disadvantage for about a generation up until 1992. I don't know if you know this, but you weren't able to play for Yorkshire unless you were born within the county boundaries, which whilst all the other counties were recruiting overseas test players, we were playing with our own guys. They changed that in 1992. I'm somewhat sceptical because that happened to be the year that Michael Vaughan, who's from Manchester, became available, and they brought in Sachin Tendulkar, the wonder kid from India, who's only 19 at the time. So it didn't matter then during that period whether you could bowl an unidentifiable googly or if you could hit six sixes with your flat cap on. If you weren't born in Yorkshire, you couldn't play for Yorkshire. It was a form of exclusion, creating an us and them dynamic. And we know about this through overt racism, don't we? We remember the signs, well, we've seen them on the TV and stuff, the signs that were in the windows after the war, and which said no Irish, no blacks, no dogs. Fortunately, we don't see that very often anymore, but we still fall into the trap of putting people into other groups, us and them, me and you. So, you know, I'm from Yorkshire and everybody else isn't. That's the other. Or I'm a Christian and everybody else, the other, is not a Christian. Or the elderly or the young people or students. Yeah, students. Or families and children or women. The other. Whatever I am, the ones who are not, who are different. And in this passage, Isaiah identifies the other and explains what justice means for them. And as we read this, I want you to see whether or not you recognize the others, the excluded, here at the Vineyard. Who are they? Or perhaps this message is for you. Are you an excluded person? Do you feel excluded? Let's read Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 to 7. He starts with this straightforward instruction. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, who keeps their hands from doing evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, who hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name. Better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, These I will bring to my holy mountain. I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So 2 weeks ago, I said that for justice, justice looks like the what of justice was Sabbath, entering into God's rest, a restoration of the way we were meant to be, recapturing the created order, grasping what should be inherently right in our relationships with each other and with God. This week, the who of justice. Justice is who. Justice means integration. Integration of whom? Who is this for? And Isaiah paints this poetic picture with two examples of people for whom justice is real: the eunuch and the foreigner. And he picks on these two people because the people of Israel at the time thought that the eunuch and the foreigner could not truly be people of God. They could not come close to God in worship or be counted as part of the family of God. And it wasn't because they were bad people or misbehaved. The people of God were perfectly capable of doing that themselves, and they were in no position to judge. The problem was that these others, the eunuch, the foreigner, either didn't carry the name, the identity of Israel, the foreigner, or they couldn't perpetuate the name, the identity of Israel, the eunuch. Names are really important, aren't they? They carry meaning and value and memory. I was reading how a few years ago, 700 children were named Messiah until a magistrate in Tennessee apparently decided enough was enough and ordered that a baby's name be changed from Messiah to Martin. He's not the Messiah, he's Martin. That's an old joke for those of you who are old enough. She argued, this magistrate, that it was a title that could only be earned by one person and that this moniker would put the baby at odds with lots of people. Too right. Some countries are really strict about this, apparently. Sweden has blocked the name Metallica and IKEA. And New Zealand has blocked, let me get this right, Tallulah does the hula from Hawaii. Anyway, digression. Back to Isaiah. In our context, the names are important. What do we call people? And the eunuch might have come from a good Jewish family. He might not have been a foreigner. He would have been Jewish or Yorkshire. But he was unable to have, or she was unable to have children for biological or circumstantial reasons. And therefore, they couldn't carry on the family name, which was a matter of great shame. Carrying the family name was super important for the people of Israel. They were careful to trace the family genealogies going back generations to certify that somebody was eligible to be included. And only the Jews could go into the inner temple area to worship there. So if you imagine the walls around Jerusalem provided safety and marked out a territory. The temple within the walls was the place, was a statement of God's greatness and holiness. And then the rituals that took place within the temple provided familiarity and a means of contact with Yahweh, the Lord of heaven and earth. And in Isaiah's day, the way the people experienced entering into God's rest, having order and identity and purpose and relationships restored, was often centered on this temple in Jerusalem, and on the worship and sacrifices that took place there. And you were only allowed to participate in this part of the life of Israel if you could prove that you were a Jew from a Jewish descent. Thus, foreigners were excluded. And if you were unable to have children and thus secure that legacy within your own family, you were considered impure and you were also excluded. And that group were called the eunuchs. So these two most excluded groups of people, the people disqualified from being in the presence of God, from having their worship deemed valid, from being known by God, were the foreigners and the eunuchs. And they were not excluded because of the choices they'd made, but just because of who they were. And into that culture, Isaiah thunders with a prophecy which says, do you know who's going to be revealed by my righteousness? Verse 1. Verse 2, who is going to be blessed? It's the foreigner and the eunuch. Yes, them, the ones you have excluded, they're going to be the ones God blesses and draws in. Awesome. Why? Because they have chosen to enter the Sabbath, to enter the place of God's rest, to hold fast to God and to God's promises, the covenant, verses 4 and 6. And Isaiah goes on to make this extravagant promise from God. Verses 4 and 5, he says, the eunuchs, those who can't have the babies, those who will never have any offspring to retain the family name, whose memory will disappear, no descendants to remember them. Verse 5, he says, Yahweh will give them within these walls, this safe place, a memorial, a name, one that will never be cut off, an eternal identity, coming into God's rest forever. Incredible promise. And then in verse 6 and 7, he says, the foreigners that you have kept out, verse 7, Yahweh himself will bring in. He is going to bring them to the temple. God will give them joy and accept their worship and their lives. The warning is clear. The warning is clear. Justice and righteousness are coming. Verse 1, it's at hand. It's soon to be revealed. But it doesn't look like an empty religious ritual, no matter how high and shiny your temple is. It isn't exclusive or discriminatory. It's not because you were born into the right family or given the right education or hold down a good job or have the right colored skin or a fully functioning body or children of your own. The people of righteousness, the people who will see justice, are those who choose to hold fast to God, binding themselves to the Lord. Verse 3, choosing what pleases God, doing what is right, choosing to worship and bless the name of the Lord, who enter into God's rest, the Sabbath. I'm thinking in Isaiah's day, the eunuchs and the foreigners, that group of excluded people, would walk with a sense of being treated as other, less than, unprotected. Just as they would have walked in fear, and just as they would have walked in that fear, I think today Isaiah would be prophesying to women who walk in fear. What is God saying to women today in the light of all that we've seen this week? I think it would go something like this. To the women who keep my Sabbath and hold fast to me and who choose what pleases me, I will give them a temple and walls, a place of safety and peace. In my house, they will be without fear and will have honor and respect. Do you feel like the other? Maybe you feel as though you've been excluded. Have you ever walked into a room, whether online or in person, and felt excluded? I don't belong here. Or maybe even somebody told you you don't belong there. It happened to me even. Maybe because of your gender or your age or your nationality or ethnic background. Or because you're aware of your sin and think you won't be accepted. Has that ever happened to you? Recently, we've been singing this song by Terry Butler and Byron Aram, and it goes like this. The words go, you welcome, you God welcome, the lover, the hater, believer, the doubter, the mighty, the broken, the pure and the profane, the selfish, the giver, the loser, the winner, the righteous, the sinner, all the same. This is a challenge to the church family, the challenge to those of us who consider ourselves to be part of the family. And quite rightly, because we have surrendered our lives to following Jesus, we declare him as our Lord and Savior. We have chosen to do what pleases God. And the challenge is to be honest with ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to show us where are we excluding people, and to come in repentance and to pray for the grace to embrace people from all different places who are different from us. Justice means integration. Are we going to be like Yorkshire cricket, excluding the other? Or are we going to be a community of justice, welcoming all, integrating men, women, children into our family, working at relationships, heart to heart? Let me conclude. Verse 8, which we didn't read, comes at the end, goes like this. The sovereign Lord declares, I will gather still others to them. That's the eunuch and the foreigner. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. This is God's mission, prophesied 2,500 years ago. God is still on the case, and he is asking you and me, will you be gathered, and will you be a gatherer together of brothers and sisters from every nation, race, language, and people? When God's justice comes, and it is very close, says the prophet, it is seen in the way people who have been excluded are included, not just included, but are valued and integrated heart to heart. They don't just get an invitation. They don't just get to sit at the banqueting table. They get to choose the menu and organize the entertainment. And if you wish to enter into God's rest, the Sabbath, to know God's mercy and forgiveness and peace, if that's what you want, and it's a wonderful thing to go for, but you have felt excluded, I want you to know that you're welcome. Amen. So we want to pray for those who feel excluded. And you may have been asking, is this church for me? Is the church for me? You know, will I be excluded? I want to pray I want you to know that you're welcome, and to pray for the courage to stand, to pray for the courage to enter, to challenge, to call out when you see and you feel you're being excluded. I want to pray over that. Lord, I pray for anyone who is feeling excluded for whatever reason. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, that they may hear your voice, not the voice of the enemy, not the voice of the people around them, but your voice welcoming them, speaking the truth. You're the one who promises to make this a safe place and to provide an eternal identity that you invite. Would you invite anyone who feels excluded to take that step into your place of worship, into your Sabbath, into your rest now? And I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in that place, that they would feel that you would grant them the courage to be who they are and to speak up when they feel excluded. May this be a community of justice, one that welcomes and integrates all people. Amen.